Like what you hear? You can access exclusive content and other perks at patreon.com/theunionedge.
And welcome to the Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio. This is Nathan Ruggles here with you. It's great to be here with you today. Thanks so much for joining us. I'd like to extend some thanks out, first of all, to the operating engineers, Local 66, as well as the American Federation of Government Employees, that's AFGE. We appreciate all their support for our programming here at the Union Edge. Also, we are on social media, of course, so you can head out to Facebook, give us a comment, send us a tweet at the Union Edge. Let us know what you think. So we'd like to also now welcome one of the guys from the team over at the District Sentinel. It's Sam Knight. Sam, great to have you on the program.
Hey, Nathan. Thanks for having me.
So we've got a number of stories here out of the nation's capital that you have for us here. We'll get through them real quick here, of course. First off, I guess we have some news from the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, here.
Yeah, he was giving a press conference today touting the Republican tax plan and its imminent passage. There's a vote expected in the Senate later tonight. But he also was speaking more broadly about their ideological agenda, Republicans' ideological agenda, and he mentioned getting people off of welfare. So as you can imagine, you can expect Republicans to push forward to make our already very ungenerous welfare state even less so. And the Washington Post has done some reporting about this in the past few weeks. Jeff Stein over there, over on Wonk Blog, he's a very good reporter. He reported that it's likely going to come in the form of work requirements on food stamps and on housing benefits. And this is, it's a pretty ridiculous notion, and that this sort of welfare generosity is to explain for a decline in the labor force participation rate, because it's true, if you do look at statistics, they show that fewer Americans are participating in the labor force, but the Federal Reserve has done statistical analyses of this phenomenon, and they find that it's largely due to demographic factors, an aging population, changing gender roles, people staying in education longer, younger workers delaying their entry into the workforce because they want to go to school more. And so it has nothing to do with this idea that handout after handout is what is sort of keeping the economy down, and it's just you know, get ready, batten down the hatches, as they say, because it's looking to be like it'll be a fight next year.
Well, you know, historically, anytime the Republican Party starts talking about quote unquote welfare reform, right, it's always, you know, be ready to get really nervous because, you know, this isn't the first time we've heard something about these, you know, so-called work requirements. And of course, who doesn't like the idea of a good job? Everyone likes the idea of a good job that they can have in order to sustain themselves and their families. But those, as we well know, jobs for working class family, the wages have been stagnant for three decades, and the Republican Party certainly has not contributed to those going up in any way, with opposition to living wages or minimum wages, let alone living wages, right? And the jobs just aren't out there for folks to be able to, or else they would have them, right? They would have those jobs if they were available.
Yeah. I mean, the idea that people just sort of don't want to work and shirk their own responsibilities or whatever is just a pure fantasy. And what it really seems designed to do, the attack on the social safety net, is quite frankly to break the bargaining power of the worker. You might be less shy or less scared about organizing at work if you know that worst comes to worst, you get fired, you may be able to get some food stamps. That isn't, you know, if that is pulled out from under you, then the worker's bargaining hand is lessened, quite frankly.
Well, and it is, they call it a safety net for a reason, right?
Yeah.
If people stumble, people lose a job, people have a, something happens, crisis in their life, it's something they know should be there that they can fall back on. Any one number of us, right, if something would happen. But, you know, we do need to move forward here. Speaking of, you mentioned organizing at work. We know we have some NLRB decisions that we need to chat about for a moment.
Yeah. So last week, the NLRB did rush through a few decisions there, including one to reverse the joint employer standard that had been set previously under the Obama administration. And what that did was basically target the a very insidious franchise model in which major corporations get to claim that they don't set working conditions like McDonald's.
Sure.
Because they're just hiring it out to contractors. So the NLRB under Obama cried foul on that. And now the NLRB under Trump is reversing that decision, which was the subject of what brought some lawsuits. McDonald's had to defend itself under that new standard, and now they don't have to worry about that. And, this was Mr. Trump doing his thing for the forgotten American.
It's right? Corporations, just because their name is all over the restaurant and all over the products and all of the commercials talking about the restaurant and all over the uniforms people wear and the products that they serve, why should they be responsible for anything that goes on in that store when it comes to the people that work there, right? This is an incredible notion.
It's just a coincidence.
Yeah.
They could be,
it's really just such a nonsensical idea, right? That they should not have responsibility towards the workers and what takes place in terms of work conditions, pay, and et cetera, et cetera. So it is sad to see that unfortunately, once again, we're hearing about this Trump NLRB with a decision that goes against the interests of workers and working families. Anything else there? Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say the good news is that they rushed these decisions because Phil Miskimar, the chair, his term is up. He's not seeking another term. So they are without currently five members, I believe, so that they need to wait for the next NLRB chair to make it through the Senate confirmation process. So at least there will be a few weeks that the Trump NLRB is hamstrung.
Okay, so it'll be four members, right? So
Looking for some silver lining here is all.
No. I mean, hey, we got to take it out. We can get it, right? In terms of at least holding back some of the worst from happening today. Maybe you can at least say it's put off till a little bit. Now, I know that, of course, we need to talk at least for a moment about the tax plan, the vote coming today. I believe the House is voting, if not right now, imminently. You had mentioned that the Senate voting this evening. So what are we looking at here briefly in terms of the final version that really nobody's probably hardly read, right? But
yeah.
What are we looking at?
Well, that was a what Bob Corker said when he flipped from no to yes, and people found David Sirota over at IBT found out that there was a provision slipped in there that greatly reduced tax burdens of real estate-based limited liability corporations, of which, guess what, Corker owns a stake in that. And
that's just a coincidence, right? I mean,
yeah,
that has nothing to do with him changing his position, right?
No.
Of course not.
But that said, I think it's pretty much a done deal. You've got Susan Collins who has come out and said yes, and she was one people were looking for
In the Senate.
And
right, yeah.
I would be surprised if it very very surprised if it didn't pass. I the margin will be pretty razor thin, but I would be shocked if it doesn't pass. And I think corporate America already believes that. I think stock buybacks are already happening, which of course is what this tax break is mostly going to do, is serve shareholders and people who are already collecting dividends. it's all over but the crying. But there is some drama because Friday the government's funding expires and we're facing another shutdown. And we're already seeing Senate Democrats threaten to filibuster any bill that has very harmful environmental policies.
Okay.
You have people also agitating for a DREAM Act renewal, too, in Washington.
Sure.
So I think the real drama this week will be with the spending fight.
Well, you know, there's no end of the drama coming out of Washington. We do know that much. We do need to wrap up here. So where can people go to find out more about the NLRB, the tax plan, the shutdown? Tell us real quick, Sam.
Well, you can find all our stories over at www.districtsentinel.com.
All right. Excellent. Sam Knight, thanks so much.
Thanks, Nathan.
Sam Knight with the District Sentinel there with us here on the Union Edge. This is Nathan Ruggles. Thanks so much.
Like what you hear? You can access exclusive content and other perks at patreon.com/theunionedge.